Okay. Good evening. Roll call in minutes, please. Katrina?
Here.
Greg is not here tonight. John Conway?
Here.
Dar?
Here.
Thank you. Tony Grove?
Here.
Jen will not be joining us tonight. Kimberly Krause?
Here.
Bill Whitekemper?
Here.
I'm here, more or less. Can we please approve the agenda for this evening? Does anyone have any questions, additions, or suggestions?
I just have one quick question. Did we talked about the report, the interim report that we were going to send. Do you have that final, or when are we going to?
I didn't put it on here, did I? Sorry. I didn't bring it with me, but let me circulate it, and hopefully we can, like we talked about, approve it over email and get it out. Okay, anything else? All right, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Bill.
Second.
Thank you, Kim. In favor?
Aye.
All right. So we've got two sets of minutes to approve. August 2nd, and it looks like the date is actually the August 9th minutes. Can we start with the 2nd?
I had a few, more than a few, I think, and maybe I was just getting two.
Oh, I see. That's it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said I had a few things, maybe more than a few, but maybe it's just being nitpicky, I guess. I don't know. But new business, number one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Line down, Mr. Dar said regarding discussion of development fees, cost of infrastructure. Specifically pertaining to the Tim Crockett and Ian Thomas presentations,
mm-hmm.
was about process and the correct way to allocate and collect funding, as opposed to, I stated any opinion at that time of, we don't have the correct allocation, or we have too much negotiation of fees.
Yeah, I don't remember it that way either. Wasn't that specific?
And then it said, Mr. Dar, the next sentence, Mr. Dar would also like an explanation on sanitary sewer utility. I think that was regarding my comment about Dave Sorrell's presentation included information on the sanitary sewer utility. I don't necessarily see any more information on that.
Okay.
I don't know. I can go through all these that I have little things that I was going to mention, but would it be easier if I also sent this to staff?
Yeah, why don't I just take your changes and me, and I will give a comprehensive set.
I might need to clear these up, but I mean, because it's just kind of my, yeah, it might not be real clear what I was intending.
Okay. If you want to, if it's easier for you, why don't you just send them to me and Carol?
Okay.
By email, if that works.
Do you still want me to go through these, or?
As a point of procedure, is it a matter of public record that we discuss updating it? If so, then we should probably go through them.
I think so.
Pardon?
Cody has several changes in for the minutes. We need to go over them rather than just sending them to me and Carol, right? Is it a matter of public record?
You could amend the minutes. I mean, you could send them to Carol, but you couldn't vote on them tonight.
Right.
Okay.
So you should make the changes and then send them out, and then we could look at it then and then approve it.
Yeah, we can approve it next week.
Next time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to move to table?
I'll move to table the August 2nd meeting minutes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you.
I think the 26th minutes we didn't.
That's the one we still need to take a look at.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Which I don't personally have any comments on that one.
Okay.
All right.
Anyone else have comments on the 26th minutes?
I move to approve the 5.6 minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, good. All right. So let's talk about, well, one thing that I should have added to new business that I would like to note is we did get the overflow report from the rains from Dave Sorrell that I'd like to address under new business later this evening. If that works.
Is that the one with the addresses?
That's the one with the list of addresses. And we also got the report from Dave on the 20% reduction in sewer charges per agreements with Boone County that I just wanted to make sure everybody got and saw by email. Okay. All right, so we've got a couple sets of recommendations for the downtown electrical system that were ones from John that were circulated last week, and then the ones that were circulated via email from Bill. Everybody got those with them? So, we want to work through these.
I do.
Okay. All right. Is it okay if we start with you with your recommendations, John?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Excellent.
Firstly, these are draft recommendations for further discussion. It was apparent to me, based upon Ryan Williams' presentation, that for the downtown area, that there's a scenario on there that shows electrical capacity of 2 megawatts, and that that seems to be getting risky down at that level, and that we need to maintain more excess capacity. And then he also demonstrated that the way that we get additional excess capacity is that we would build a Mill Creek substation, electrical substation. And so my recommendation is that we to the council that the Mill Creek substation be built as originally designed and be connected by appropriate electrical transmission lines within the downtown as well as the city's entire electrical system. I think the last part of that's just a byproduct of when you hook it up, the other part of the system gets impacted and it's a benefit. Then I go on to say the project be funded with enterprise revenue and or capital improvement program reserves, which may cause other electrical projects to be delayed. Since the department has revealed the critical nature of the available electricity capacity of 2 megawatts, also recommended that the administrative delay that the council has approved now in force should be extended until such time that the Mill Creek substation is online and able to feed downtown area.
So one thing is, I think it would make some sense to split this into, this is sort of a combination of three different recommendations. Do you think we could just have a sort of a sentence, I think of the term for it, but just an opening sentence and then bullet these or number them? Or do you feel like they're one, it's
no,
of a single
no, you're
piece?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so they just opened it up as a recommendation and go down through and say A, B, C, and D are part of it.
What's your three? Because I could see two. I guess I could see three, but it almost seems like...
Yeah, let's see.
Extension of the...
I was thinking that three would be built as originally designed.
The first sentence,
Yeah.
I like the first sentence.
Two would be the project would be funded with enterprise funds and or capital improvement program funds.
So in that sentence, originally designed and proposed and approved to whatever extent it was approved, already had funding allocated for it, right?
It did. Or it does. But as we move down these other sub-recommendations, the money that was available to do it may not be there.
But, so you're just kind of hedging what you said down below with this by saying, you know, it should be funded by this or that. You're just
and then I think you're right. And then as we move down the others, if that impacts one, then we need to return to one and modify it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it almost, the substation and how it's funded, I guess those could be two different, whatever, that's fine. Okay.
And not to be nitpicky, but can we avoid acronyms like CIP?
Sure can.
Unless we...
No, you're right.
Yeah, or MW for megawatt.
No, she's right. The CIP ought to be the capital.
And we know what it is.
No, you're right. Okay. That's good.
Which brings us to the third recommendation on this bullet. Since the department has revealed the critical nature of the available electrical capacity, the administrative delay now for should be extended until it's online. Couple things. First of all, the administrative delay, isn't that only effective towards student housing right now, or is that for...
Oh, no, it's...
It is all. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me some background on the administrative delay then. Two sentences or less.
When did they vote on it? In April?
The beginning of
May.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
This is different than the housing freeze that Mayor Therese...
It's the same. It's the same.
It's
administrative delay, so the technical...
Technically, it's called administrative delay.
That only goes till December right now, is that correct?
That's the December 31st, I believe, right?
The second part that I would suggest or that I would have thoughts on is we have available 2 megawatts capacity. Why are we delaying when we have the capacity? It's not very much, but they still said it was capacity, right?
Yeah, but it's not, it would be
used
operationally, you don't want to use.
But you take into account those operational probable failures in how we got to 2, because it was actually 10 surplus. If everything's online and then they took it down at 8 megawatts to account for the operational failures that may happen to have, you know. That's what I read into the presentation. That, I mean, you could expand on that, I'm sure.
You're correct. You have two, reliably speaking, you have 2 megawatts in which you can capacity, which you can serve load, still have the same reliability and redundancy that your system has today. Beyond 2 megawatts, you could potentially be sacrificing some of the reliability that's in the downtown area.
And I'm completely with you that I wouldn't want to go over the 2 megawatts, but I personally wouldn't want to extend the administrative delay on the just on this, that we only have 2 megawatts of capacity.
So let's see, how do you, is that another way of saying if something happens, you'll take the liability?
No. The city will.
The city will. Is that right, Ryan?
We always do.
I mean, there's always some amount of spare capacity, whether it's 2 or 20.
I realize that. But is a good engineering practice to do that?
I think the good engineering practice is the 10 down to 2.
And then let's see, then we have Murphy's Law.
Well, yes, there could be a catastrophic event where, like,
that's all I'm...
The leftover, the 2, takes into account the required cushion, right? That 14%.
The 2 is capacity.
Okay. It's waiting.
John, I guess you're familiar with option E.
Pardon?
You're familiar with option E?
No.
Are you familiar with option E?
No. I have no data, no report, nothing from the department. But.
Ryan, are you familiar with option E?
Familiar with what the mayor's proposed
option. Is it a viable option?
Yes.
Being My thinking is, because you're kind of going back to the beginning of this recommendation, right? And if I'm not mistaken, and the talking about the as originally designed, is that what you're referring to? Option A versus option E?
I'm just not exploring option E.
Is that what that's in reference to? Option E, is that in reference to the option A?
No.
Oh, okay.
Separate option.
It's an alternate.
No, I know, but like
of
instead
option
of option A.
A.
Yes.
Since my thinking is, since we didn't actually look into and study the reasons behind why people are upset about it or whether, whatever, my thinking was if we could change this, would be built and connected by appropriate electrical transmission lines so that we take out the as originally designed, which leaves it open for if option E is viable, then
that's a good point.
You know,
I think
I mean?
It's worth talking about the process that the city went through to establish the original plan and the funding drive in the first place that passed by 70% of the vote. And document the public hearings that were held and the public input that took place and the council conversations that happened that approved putting it on the ballot, where it then passed by 70%. If we're also going to talk about what other alternatives might be.
I think my main point was, since we didn't actually look at that specifically, I have no problem with this recommendation. It's just the fact that I don't know that much about it. I only saw little bits and pieces in the news, so I don't know that I have a good sense of what the uproar was about option A versus any other options.
Now,
and I understand that we need to move
now,
forward.
My recommendation has nothing to do with option A.
So the options came
originally
after the bond was passed.
Option A is the transmission line. Option A is not the Mill Creek substation.
Okay, I gotcha.
Is that right, Ryan?
It's almost like a separate sentence, be connected by appropriate electrical transmission lines.
Well, you pretty much build those substations. You gotta connect them.
No, I know, you just in reference to your
no,
comment.
No, but this is the part where my knowledge of this is only very limited and minimal, so I didn't understand that the as originally designed wasn't referring to what the...
See, help us out, Ryan, to connect Mill Creek substation.
What's that entail?
Well, it will need at least 2 separate transmission level interconnections with some adjacent substations.
Right.
Preferably at the 161 kV level.
Yeah.
There are only a few finite substations around with which to interconnect that with. We've looked at several options in the past. I think, you know, when we go through the letters of the alphabet, we are down to letter E for an option that the mayor has proposed. Being studied, been studied by staff, it's been shared with our neighbors, both Hammerin and Associated Electric, for their comments on the modeling aspects of that. Once those are known, we'll be back to council with a report on our findings on the viability of option E. Until that, then we'll be looking for some direction how to move forward from there. Option E is a concept on paper. It isn't really a route per se. How do they want us to proceed forward from there? Once we determine that the route or the electrical connection is viable, do they just want to draw a line on the map and say build that, or do they want us to do another full-blown routing study to determine how to get from one substation to the other?
I had anything to recommend. I would recommend that you follow good engineering practices.
So if I think I'm not understanding how the two things are. I understand that you need the transmission lines to get between them, but why put the whole project on hold when you could build, build the substation while they're still working through the process of the transmission lines and still be within whatever regulations? So
That's what I'm saying.
You can build a substation, okay. You just won't be empowered.
Right.
So wouldn't she, what we're trying to do by adding capacity downtown yet?
Yeah, you wouldn't, there's no power to it, but there's no capacity that needs capacity.
So the whole project was put on hold, essentially, not just the route.
So there's not a route attached to option E?
Option E is a concept that would take a line from our Perchy Creek substation and route it up north to connect it either to Central Electric's Craithersville substation or our Bolstead substation. Electrically, that's what you're doing, but how do you physically, where do you draw the line to make that happen? That'll be up to the council to determine how they want to go about doing that. If you go back through the process that we did originally for came known as option A, we came to the council with, here's what we need to do. We need to build a new substation to be able to handle the new load and the southern portion of our electric service territory. And we also need to bring a new line into our Perchy Creek substation to help make sure that we remain in compliance with some federal transmission planning guidelines. And these are the substations that we propose that we interconnect to. And then from that, they were like, bring us back several options on how to get from point A to point B. And that, we did a routing study. The results of that routing study got boiled down into the three routes that are now known as option A. And when we held a public open house on that, we introduced those routes to the public. And then at a public hearing following that, the city council requested that we try and see if a 69 kV option would be doable because of some of the political pressures that they were receiving at the time from option A. And we did the same process again. Just came up with an electrical concept, went through a little routing study to determine several different ways to connect point A to point B, boiled that down, and then brought back to council what was known as option B. And then we had a public hearing, bring the pros and cons of option A versus option B. It's all pretty much history that's on the internet, but at that public hearing, they came to the determination to move forward with option A, proceed to move forward, entered into a design contract with Sega, began doing some of the detailed engineering work, specifically where poles would be placed, went back out to the public with that information, and that
lack of a better phrase, stirred up the hornet's nest again, if you will. And that's when council was getting a lot of pressure to slow the project down. We had a council person request a second special public hearing for the consideration of option A. At that special public hearing, basically, option A did not pass, but no other options did. So we're in a little bit of a directionless state at this time. In May of this year, we had a council work session with a new city council, and that they kind of gave us a little bit of direction on some things they'd like for us to investigate before they take the subject back up again. We're right in the middle of the background work on that.
A couple of things. One is, can we see that too when you're done, when you're ready to share that document?
Certainly.
Sure. Okay, and two, you mentioned that E, option E, would show the substation to the French Creek substation.
Option E. Our new substation still has to be powered, and there's that. The most disliked portion of option A was the line that went between our new substation, our new proposed substation on Mill Creek, west down Nifong, and then north of Scott Boulevard. And so, as a way to try to avoid doing that, the mayor has proposed, instead of using that as our connection to Virgin Creek, instead go from our Kirchen Creek substation, kind of north around the outside of town up to, like I mentioned, either Central Electric's Prentisville substation or our Volstead substation. But that just takes care of the nerd reliability issue into the Kirchen Creek substation. We still have to power the new Mill Creek substation. We're still going to recommend a line from Grindstone to the substation, and then from the New Milford substation down to McBain substation. We're also investigating the possibility of doing a line section that would go from, instead of doing that, it would be from intercepting the Boone to Grindstone line, bringing that into the New Mill Creek substation first before continuing on to Grindstone. At this point in time, we're looking at which one of those two implementations is more reliable than the other, and we have the different pros and cons. At the end of the day, I think that what council is looking for is solutions that impact, from a physical perspective, the least amount of people, and then they'll have to weigh in the financial impact to, there'll be a financial impact to all of the customers at some point.
So if you ultimately go with option E, but anyway, it affects the structure of the Mill Creek substation?
Will option E affect what?
The construction of Mill Creek substation.
Well, I mean, we need to know, if we're going to go with option E, then, we still need to connect Mill Creek substation in some fashion. I think at this point in time, staff's still going to recommend option A as the best, most economical way to solve both issues with the same project. We still need to do a little bit more homework, if you will, on which of the proposed transmission solutions, from a modeling perspective, ends up with the least amount of problems or contingencies that come up with that. To date, everything we've studied suggests that option A is still the most reliable, least cost solution.
Does your modeling just looks at the technical aspects? Do you do any sort of analysis that looks at the socioeconomic characteristics of the neighborhoods or areas where the lines going through are adjacent to or over?
theory, that's what the routing study was supposed to accomplish. You know, they were supposed to take in factors and weighting factors such as proximity to homes, schools, businesses, you know, factors that you're kind of mentioning there, and then weighing that against different aspects of reliability and cost. It was, you know, very confusing and very difficult to explain person, as well as to the council, you know, as it boiled down, you know, the matrices that were developed to help as part of that process were the ones that originally set out the routes for each of the different solutions. And then we made a hybrid version that tried to compare the different routing options together, and, you know, it marginally selected option A over option B. As of the engineering behind it, you know, staff have recommended going with option A as well. So there were attempts made to do that. I would imagine that they might do that again. I'm not sure.
Are there reasons other than initial costs that something like burial is not even
true? The cost prohibitiveness is the main factor. I mean, upwards of 7 to 10 times more expensive to put them underground as they are.
But you can put those big, big lines underground.
Sure.
And you could still maintain them and all of that even if they were underground. So if people were really upset about it and wanted to pay more for it.
The city does not have the capability to maintain 161 kilovolt underground transmission line. Is that true, Ryan?
We have no equipment to do it today. If we were required to build it, we'd certainly have to procure it.
And when I was down in Florida, when I had my meeting with Florida Power,
and Light, they didn't have anyone on staff or a crew on staff to be able to maintain. They had to contract that out to have that's a specialized maintenance repair activity.
Are you aware, John, of places in the U.S. where they do bury and manage those size of scale of lines?
Yeah, there are places.
There are places that do.
There are some in Florida.
Okay.
Okay, I forgot where we were.
Well,
so your recommendation doesn't really go into the transmission line piece of it at all. It's just put in the substation.
What I was told, based upon their analysis, that as far as in my judgment, the 2 megawatts was risky. And given all the possibilities of things we might be subject to, that I think we need to move ahead. We've acquired the site. We've acquired different pieces and parts that go into the substation. It's already been designed, right, Brian?
Substations?
Yeah, it's designed. And
we actually have equipment that's been delivered.
It's sitting on the ground rusting.
Yeah.
And,
well, I think.
What is the logic for not going ahead with the substation?
That's my question.
Well, we have no authorization to do that. The entire project has been pulled from authorization, so.
She say logic.
We have no authorization to build the substation or to, you know, do any aspect of that project from city council level. When they reheld that special public hearing, the authorization to do anything with that project died.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, I was just thinking, I think with the 2 megawatts in your how you address it is the critical nature of it. To me, I kind of see where you're going is you can project growth, and with only 2 megawatts, we only got 2 or 3 years of growth at the current rate until we are out of capacity. So that puts us on a pretty tight timeline to get this done.
We don't have time to be
redoing everything we took. When did this start? 3 years ago.
About 2007.
So, I mean, I'm definitely with you. We need to be doing this really fast. And the fastest way to do it is to do what we've already, to continue on with what we've already done and vetted and all that, but.
Can we delete that? Since the department has revealed the critical nature of the available electric capacity to be 2 megawatts, can we just delete that and just say, due to need, whatever, anticipated growth, the administrative date delay should be extended? I mean, just so that people reading it aren't confused.
That's okay.
Is there a reason to be that specific?
That's true. Personal.
Yeah, in this town, you need to be pretty specific.
I mean, I personally...
But stay away from matrices.
Personally, obviously, we would have to agree or vote or whatever, but I would probably wouldn't be supportive of recommending an administrative delay at this point based on only having 2 megawatts of capacity.
Didn't Greg figure out what that 2 megawatts square footage was at that meeting?
What was the suggestion?
400,000 square foot as well. Development downtown.
Plus or minus.
Yeah, I mean, that's just based on a 5 megawatt or 5 watts per square foot of development, which is very rough, I think.
Yeah, real rough. Real rough.
Well, in terms of what to include, I would rather take the approach of including a range of recommendations and highlighting how we feel about those rather than completely excluding recommendations.
I don't want to exclude a recommendation, and I'm okay with the first two sentences. I definitely think should be a recommendation. As it's written now, I don't like the third sentence because I don't want to be a proponent of administrative delay based on the 2 megawatts. This is my personal feeling. I respect your feeling, and I see where you're coming from. But
I think they go hand in hand.
I guess that's what I'm saying is I would rather have it stated in a way that says, here's what some task force members thought, and here's what some other task force members thought as a potential response to this situation, than to exclude ideas.
Madam Chair, what if we worded that we give the council an option?
Right. That's what I'm...
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Let them determine their destiny.
So,
and then say also... Another option with this recommendation is administrative delay downforce.
Or this may impact, you know, council should be aware this may impact your decisions about what to do about the administrative delay.
Yeah, that
kind of thing. Not to make a recommendation, but to acknowledge it's an associated issue.
Yeah, very good.
I would be willing to look at something like that.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I'd be willing to look at it.
No, that's good. Okay.
I don't want to get too deep into this, but I feel like I read about the administrative delay not actually stopping all development. It was just there were extra hoops to jump through or something.
It doesn't. It didn't stop what was already in the pipeline, so to speak. What had been
previously submitted.
Right.
Submitted that day.
Yeah. It's bounded by Providence Stadium.
Well, and does it include the we may not know or may not have the ability to know whether or not those properties that have already been included prior to the administrative delay would, how much of that 2 megawatts they would take up.
Yeah. You all looked at the current.
So that was already wrapped into the 2 megawatt left over after all of those?
I mean, it does get a little more complicated when you think about your area of analysis was a lot bigger range than what the downtown administrative delay is over, though. Not a lot bigger,
December 31st.
Can we recommend the council to have it decided by then?
Have what?
Yeah, can we recommend the council to have it decided by then, by the end of the administrative delay?
There you go.
That's one way to do it. Okay, so Bill, I want to go back and make sure your point was covered. Wait, how do you see this fitting into option E?
I don't know. Ryan, does the doctor need have any basis in determination of the nuclear substation?
I think going back to John, the overall, how you power the substation really doesn't matter as long as you power the substation in some fashion.
Substation would be powered by option E.
It could be powered by option E, or it could be powered by, you know, they're still investigating, you know, option D is still on the table as well. And, you know, they may propose another way to do that, but as long as they get the substation built and powered from the transmission system, it'll be able to, you know, inject fresh load carrying capability in the bulk of the city, actually. You know, just because it's in the south doesn't necessarily mean it only benefits projects that are in the south.
Right.
It'll allow us to, just as I just showed you guys that evening of how heavily networked the downtown area is, our entire system is like that. So we have the ability to reconfigure by opening and closing inline switches that are out in the field our entire distribution network. And so by incorporating this new substation into our distribution network, we'll be able to redistribute the load throughout practically the entire city.
So just to clarify, the 2 megawatt is describing the capacity of the entire system, not just downtown.
No, that border that I
that's
showed.
Border. Okay.
That
okay. So there aren't other developments that could happen in other parts of the city that would affect the ratio of the 2 megawatts.
Right. There is, no, that was hit specifically for developments within that border.
Okay.
Business to the north, stadium to the south,
right.
Old 63 to the east, and if Garth Boulevard ran up, and you know that would be your western bound.
Okay.
Which is different from this, the administrative way. Okay.
So, in summary, then, what I need to do is work on the language as to how the administrative delay is worked in there. Is that
right.
What the assignment is?
Should we work through 2?
That's 2A, B, C, D, D. Yeah, 2A was the city refunds 3% monthly. The city refund 3% monthly electric charge to all system users on the system since the effective date of the electric rate increase. The users are paying for something not being completed, which includes the Mill Creek substation. Almost a year has passed and no clear path forward defined at this time. In a like manner, reduce the electric rates to the level prior to the 3% change. And the reason for that is until such time something is defined as to what's going to be built, we're paying for something that we're not getting no benefit from. And over a year, and I don't think that's fair to the 48,000 plus or minus electrical customers.
So where is that money going right now?
Those monies will still go to this project, right? Or am I wrong about that?
Don't we already have a significant outlay?
But the whole thing, though, is that the premise of increasing the electric rates was to pay for that project. And that project has been put on hold. And who knows what
issue for that project?
Pardon?
Wasn't it to pay for the bonds that were issued?
Right. And that's when we get down to the next recommendation.
I mean, that 3% could have been in my savings account, mm-hmm. earning interest.
But hasn't the city already spent money on that project that 3% has funded?
So he's already issued those bonds. So.
Okay, but let's just go to B.
Okay.
The B is redeem the revenue bonds issued for the electrical project with bond funds not spent to date, and if there's any difference to the original amount, use interest earnings on the bond proceeds plus non-restricted cash assets of the department to make up the difference. Those bonds are just sitting there. We're not using them. There's no clear path as to how we're going to use them. And we're paying 3% on that. we'll keep paying 3%. And why should we keep paying 3% for something that's, and we've done that for over a year. And that's I don't know about that.
When we go forward, is
it me?
Pardon?
So I'd like to hear from the city's finance director. Whether they'd support A and B.
Whether they would support it or not? Are they?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we making the recommendations or are they making the recommendations?
I'd like to hear whether they would support our recommendation.
Of course they're not going to support it.
Well.
With the, is the reason they wouldn't support it, is it going to cost the city more money to go through that process?
This whole thing is going to cost millions more.
Well, I'm just
don't fool yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we can't go back and change it.
This is a quagmire. This is.
Well, yeah, but we can't go back and change it. So, what's the most economic way for us to move forward? Is it
clear
to
the
clear
slate,
the thing, and
clear
then redo
the slate and start over again,
or just
it's clear the slate and start over again?
It seems like there's going to be money associated with doing that, though.
There is. There's going to be a lot of money.
So, but is that probably more money than it would be to just keep the bonds that we have going on the assumption that we make a recommendation that they hurried up get this done.
But in a very technical sense, I was on the bond election committee, and it was very apparent in all the bond information that option A was what we were voting on. And we voted 68% to accept that debt for option A. Now, if option A is not on the board anymore, it's time to go back to have another bond election.
Do you think that would there be any liability to the city from voters for voting for option A, passing it, and then not doing it?
See, I think when I took civics, there was I think they called it bad governance that resulted in unintended consequences. See, when you line this up, this is when January 19th of this year, when they had that meeting, when you stand back away from it, there was no compelling evidence to make any different decision than what had already been made. The elements that caused the January 19th meeting were EMF and property values. And it has been very well documented that EMF...
What's EMF?
Electric magnetic force.
Electromagnetic
field. That's created from the transmission of electricity. And there's... I documented in the previous minutes this paper from the students of the university when I went to for Power and Light, and all the EMF is not an issue. It is so ridiculous that Columbia Public Schools bought a property here in Southeast Columbia where there's a 161 transmission line that goes right by the property with the 69 kV from Boone Electric right underneath it. So if it's not a problem, and CPS did not disclose to all the workmen that are going to build that school, probably have not disclosed to the teachers, probably have not disclosed to the parents of the students of that potential, versus out here at Mill Creek where it was such an issue that if it's okay there, it has to be okay there. And all the other evidence shows that EMF is not an issue. And the other thing that really strikes me is that there would be people to believe that we would build a project that would hurt children. I don't get that. That is not, we don't do that.
So trying to bring this back, is it our obligation sitting where we are at right now, or is it the task force feel like it's our obligation to recommend that we clear the slate, like you're saying, and go with these two recommendations, or should we make a recommendation saying you guys are not spending the money the way you're supposed to. You need to hurry it up, and let's get an option defined, and let's spend this money before we spend more time.
That's a good idea.
I think that's another good example of one where we're sort of framing our recommendations around some alternative choices would be a useful way to do that.
I don't want to report to be a scattering of random thoughts.
I'll be forthright with you. Some of these recommendations, it's only to stimulate your thought as to what the unintended consequences are of that decision they made. And it's gone on, and it's like you've paid 3% in your electric rate, and you have nothing to show for it, and you're going to continue to pay for it.
This is my concern, not one that necessarily John mentioned property values, but the issue that I'm interested in addressing and thinking through what the route of the lines looks like and how to make that decision is... sort of whose ox is going to get gored. If anybody's property values are worth paying attention to, then everybody's are, right?
Correct.
And I consider it sort of a social justice and social equity issue that if we're concerned about putting lines next to some kinds of neighborhoods, then we need to look carefully at where else they're going to go. And this is a conversation that resonates.
Just put it through the poor neighborhoods, it'll be all right.
Right. That's
exactly.
That's where we're headed, and I think that we need to acknowledge that. If it's not okay to put them next to neighborhoods where people are capable of having a strong and clear voice, then we need to make sure we're not putting them in places where it would be harder.
And the property value consideration or question was, there was no evidence brought forward that showed that the property values would decline. And all the appraisers I've talked to here in the city of Columbia, given the climate, that it's a non-issue. It never, the property value won't go down. It'll probably go up. The other thing is that you have to look beyond that. You have to look at, the whole benefit that the city gets. Now and in the future. Like that's where we set. Okay. But so let's not make any decisions here. Let's just further the discussion. Okay. C, the city terminate the engineering services contract with Sega Engineering Inc. due to the lack of performance by the city. Final payment to be made for all services rendered to date, plus an amount to be determined to reflect lost profits by doing business with the city. The final payment to be made from enterprise funds and or current reserves. Additionally, the city will note on the final invoice an apology for the awkwardness in the contracting, and the original intent was good faith contracting. Okay, so the unintended consequences, we have Sega Engineering has not done any work on their contract, which we entered into good faith with, in excess of $3 million, and they've been left holding the bag. How would you like to do business? Enter into a $3 million contract to provide the design services, get all the resources available, Tony, workers to execute the work, okay, and then get a call from John Conway, said, hey, Tony, the project's on hold, okay? And now, that was in early fall of last year, and now it's almost September, and still nothing has been done, and they're still out there waiting for the call to start work again. How can you survive in a business like that, Tony?
Yeah, can't.
You can't.
Yeah, there's no contingencies in the contract for getting paid.
Pardon?
Anyway.
What Sega says about it?
What, the Sega?
Yeah.
They're just out there in limbo.
Do they want in the contract?
No, I think we need to be forthright with them, Bill, and tell them that we don't know what we're doing, and we can't tell you when we're going to know what we're doing, and therefore terminate the contract. What's going to have to happen if you go, just say you go to option E, that contract they have is for option A, okay? They're going to have to reassemble all the takeoff, the manpower, and everything to focus on where this alignment is and everything. And then what happens is that will purchasing, will city purchasing say, whoa, wait a minute, you got a whole different scope of services here. You're going to have to go out and solicit a request for proposal to do this again.
Really?
Well, I can't tell you that exactly, but it's that's what you get into.
Right.
And at the magnitude that you're in. It's, see, the, it's just the unintended consequence is just...
Well, say it also, the condition we're in.
Was that not written into the contract that if there's some sort of glitch
I have a question that sort of would precede that, Kim.
Okay.
And my question is do we need to address as a recommendation city ordinance, or is there already a problem based on this contract? I don't know how you could let a contract and sign it around a plan that then the council can go back and change and
right.
pull it hold.
Right.
I mean, how could you?
I don't. I would. I would not want to do business with you.
Well, it seems
I've been in the engineering business for 17 years. I would not want to do business with you if you were going to treat me that way, because the risk is too great. How would you like to protect that you're going to have $3 million of revenue and workers and a workforce to work to do that, and now it's been a year later? How do you stay in business, Bill?
Well, what does the second one do? The second one can get out of contract?
Not that I know of.
Well, let's say it.
Yeah, until we know more about the, I mean, I don't, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Okay, well, what do you think about the idea of looking at our contracting ordinance to see how it could have happened that we have a signed contract with someone to do option A and we're not doing it?
John or Ryan, do you have anything that would help us there?
Well, we had a public hearing on it and how Kinney was selected, and then we went forward with a contract on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then council pulled it back and changed the money. That's how that happened.
Okay.
Well, in almost every city contract that the city enters into has clauses that are subject to funding appropriation and council approval.
Yeah, but funding appropriation happened.
And mm-hmm. you lost your council approval.
But after the fact, right?
After the contract was signed, yes.
So
it's still a...
Okay, then...
say contract, you have to perform.
What, how do we notify SACL?
This point in time, Sega is still under contract.
Yeah. Oop, now, wait a minute. Now, the council, it's got to be one of two ways. The council did away with the project, and if you do away with the project, then you do away with the engineering contract.
Well, they
did
away with the project.
They didn't do away with
it. The public, they pulled it back to have another public hearing and then give us the authority to proceed.
Oh, okay.
It's still out there.
Yeah.
We're just not proceeding at this time.
Yeah.
But as you said, Sega still has the manpower sitting there waiting to do the job. They just can't get paid for it.
So, but their contract clearly says that what they're contracted to do is option A.
So what do, Tony? You go to the bank, borrow the money?
My little company wouldn't know what to do.
Terminate the contract going down the road. Anyway, okay.
Okay.
D, the city notifies NERC, which is the, I'm going to say North America, but that's not right. North American Electric Reliability Council.
Corporation.
We would need to modify that. The city notifies NERC that the city requests what actions the city can take so that the city is not under the jurisdiction of NERC to avoid penalties and fines. Once this is known and implemented, notify the city of Fulton and the University of Missouri that the city is no longer a transmission authority and they need to seek other options for mutual transmission electricity.
So how long do we have for NERC before we have to meet their compliance for that purchase agreement?
Donnelly suggested we could have issues somewhere
in the early 2020s.
So we're, as of today, we're out of compliance?
We won't be out of compliance until somewhere in the 2020s.
Yeah.
But we established that when you spoke that it takes about 3 years to get this stuff done, built, and online.
I just bet 3 years is just something I pulled out.
No, I think that's right. Didn't you say that?
About 3 years to get everything built, or once you tell me to go.
Yeah.
But after or before you get the right of way.
That would include getting all the right of way, you know. It'd take about 3 years from nothing to finish by.
Does the city have an option to be under there? You like me saying I'm not going to be under the IRS.
Yeah.
Or EPA.
That's a very good analogy.
It'd be like the. Be like the. On the
they would probably entertain our request.
They'd laugh.
They might, but they may go back with a list of here's the things. Now, you know, one of the factors is our load is large enough that would require their jurisdiction regardless of whether or not we own transmission elements or not. You know, I think that we would always be under their jurisdiction as far as a load serving entity and a distribution provider just because of the size of our load. For that threshold's 100 megawatts, and once you're above that, you're
locked in.
So if we were suddenly extremely successful in economic development and added the kind of plants that would use a great deal more electricity, would that speed up the process of being out of
the
can't
buy
gas.
That's why.
So if we're looking at economic development policy that leverages tax refund, tax rebates, and abatements, and those sorts of things. We have a couple of policies sort of possibly working in contradiction to each other and exacerbating a problem on this side.
Yeah, like you mentioned, you know, economic development, you know, where to bring a whole bunch of additional load. Hope that we would also get the backing to do whatever we require to, you know,
but it still
serve
takes 3 years to get the project done just on the ground.
Sure. But load of that magnitude would also take time to develop as well.
Right. That's right.
So we all get the electric flying car.
Yeah. The hovercraft.
The electric hovercraft. Okay. So we know that first sentence is not quite right because we're under their jurisdiction whether we want to be or not, right?
Right. So that one's out the window. Still some recommendation is there, I feel like, about
paying attention to our
council recognize what we just recognized, that their compliance is imminent and with the time to get construction completion.
Yep.
We don't have very much wiggle room to.
Right. And give us an example of the daily fines for being out of compliance.
Of course, I don't know if that is slightly out of our realm of scope or whatever, since it seemed like that was just in Perchie, that maybe you had a NERC compliance issue, or is that a something that would...
It's kind of fuzzy.
Our NERC compliance issue with respect to the transmission project is... How it relates to the Mill Creek substation depends on the routing option we'll select to energize the Mill Creek substation.
Last one. I don't think that's it.
The meeting, Water and Light Advisory Board,
yeah,
it's not
met
with council?
Yeah, the meeting being scheduled with this. Citizen appointed Water Light Advisory Board and the City Council to determine a course of action for the future of electrical transmission in the city.
That hasn't happened yet?
It's pretty broad, but I mean, I have been on the Water Light Advisory Board for 26 years, and in those 26 years, I can never remember when our City Council ever scheduled a meeting with the Water and Light Advisory Board. That's a long time. And we have never been
no mention has been made to the Water and Light Advisory Board about option E.
No.
It would appear to me that if, as a matter of
shared
advisory,
interest.
And that its board is created by the charter, that the first thing that the mayor or council would do would come to the advisory board and say, what do you think?
Huh. Right, much like the integrated manager development plan has gone to PNC for review. Maybe that's a process recommendation. Is plans are opinion is sought from appropriate advisory boards.
Yeah. Do we have that as a rec on that other the stormwater sewer advisory board recommendation? Do we have anything in there about cooperation with council or anything?
Well, we still got to come back to that.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the creation of the utility advisory board or the stormwater advisory board or sanitary sewer.
Well, I think you were just saying more generally they should coordinate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Did we not say that? I guess if we didn't, we should add that maybe. Do you think that'd be a given? But I guess not.
So does the Water and Light Advisory Board ever talk to council in any way, shape, or form?
Just
talk to staff.
I go to council meetings and wait until at the end of public comment. We give them an annual report every year, which is a very lengthy document as to what we've done. All matters that come through the staff that go to the council generally has an endorsement by the advisory board.
So they never seek your opinion on anything ever?
Ever is
a long time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that.
Or certainly not regularly.
No.
Would that be a worthwhile recommendation that there be some back and forth there at least?
I think if the way I would think about it, if I was on the council, I'd say, let's see, who do I advise with in matters like this? Let's see, we've appointed a 5-member board. They serve 4-year terms. They meet every month. They review everything that comes from the staff to the council. Yep, that's what I want to do. I'm going to go to the Water and Light Advisory Board, see what they think.
You know, there have been sort of ebbs and flows over time to the attention at that a particular council sort of culture gives to its advisory.
No, and they may hear what they need to hear by virtue of the staff that all matters have been reviewed with the advisory board. But we would find in major projects like this and when there's issues that we find that the best problem solving comes about by sitting down and talking back and forth and creating a dialogue as to what the potential. See, the thing that we have that they don't have is we have history. See, I know what took place in the last project, in the project before that, and every project that's happened in the last 26 years. And if I was going to consult with someone, that's kind of what you'd want to at least take a shot at to just see what might be.
All right, let's look at Bill's recommendations. Has everybody got a copy of that? I might have a copy.
Okay, good. And Madam Chairman, just as a summary comment, I think some of my point here is that what we've had occur here is a lot of unintended consequences, and we've got those have to be untangled. That's just a bad way of doing business.
Well, I've got the changes that you suggested, and I've got a couple
actually, let me see that.
Ideas that I've got down that I will send to you.
think I have that.
And if other folks have additional thoughts on updating this section, please say anything. All right.
Number one, the electric minimum charge should be billed to the property owner when the electric meter supplying electricity to a property is hauled. Is this another way to increase revenue? It's justified because there's an expense to the city to maintain the infrastructure, whether the property is occupied or not. If you had, just an example, if you had 10 properties, those 10 properties were vacant, you would have income. So you just have to quit maintaining the sewers or electric lines. So you have to have. I think it can be justified to build a property under electric minimum charge when the property is vacant. Plus, it also be a way for the property owner to reserve its capacity. Be assured they can reconnect to the property.
So, and this would be for all properties, not just residential properties?
Yes. The electric minimum charge. That charge may have to be adjusted.
Yeah, what is the minimum charge?
$15.60 for residential.
Isn't it the same concept or philosophy that we talked about on the stormwater?
Yes. Well, stormwater is a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that the same.
Similar.
Same concept.
Concept is the same.
The only question I have about it is, and this is particularly true for residential, though I guess for commercial too, is that how much administrative costs are incurred in moving accounts back and forth. So, like, if you've got a tenant that, if you have an empty place that's empty for 2 weeks, is it worth, does it cost more than $15.60 to turn it over from one property owner, from one tenant to the property owner and back to a tenant? I mean, I think I would want to do the kind of cost-benefit analysis to make sure
I'm
sorry?
You got to turn the meter off anyway.
You got to turn the meter off, but you also have to use administrative staff to talk to people and get it arranged and work its way through the
financial system. The other option is just build an electric minimum charge of property owner all the time. Tony wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't like that.
Are you saying...
But what about revert, though? I mean, that we do that on all of our properties.
You do? Okay.
And I mean, that it makes sense because it takes, the administration here, but I would rather pay the minimum and not have to jack around and call back down to the city and this and that, plus the tenant himself.
If it's vacant for 2 weeks or a week.
Or 2 months. Yeah,
sometimes it's vacant for years.
Yeah. Well, and who's going to squalor like large commercial? Mm-hmm. I mean, people that. I mean, how long was Lucky's empty?
Yeah.
Lucky should pay the moon charge.
What? I thought we had that as a recommendation. And then got rid of it on stormwater. I thought we had that as a recommendation on stormwater. And then
we didn't talk about this. Well, I forget when we talked about
it. Well, then didn't I get rid of it?
The amount was so low for stormwater that it would cost them more to bill it than
bill it to the property owner.
That might be different with electric, though.
Yeah, they're putting.
But then, if we're going to do electric,
then
maybe it's not so non-cost effective if we're doing electric and stormwater or whatever.
And sewer.
There was something else with the reversion thing, though, that we couldn't. Who was that here? It wasn't a reversion.
Right.
I feel like there was a reason we couldn't make that recommendation.
We have to go to
voters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was when legal was
because
here.
You can do it. You can do it optionally. You just have to sign up voluntarily for it. But to make it mandatory,
right.
Something that just
had to go to voters.
Is it maybe worth it to recommend that as an ordinance to vote on?
I think it's handy.
So you always opt in to do it
now? Oh, yeah. It saves time and energy on everybody's behalf.
Okay. Do you want to add, Bill, the idea of building property owners to be encouraged just as practice?
That'd be an option.
On a permanent basis?
Yeah.
I mean, you just roll it into your rent.
Yeah. In theory.
In theory. So then, am I understanding then you'd send out two bills for the same property?
That's
one to
what
the
we talked about.
And
the, yeah, that's what we talked about.
So then
I think
it becomes an administrative.
Yeah.
Well, but then they have quarterly billing available now with the new billing system.
They,
is that up and running?
I don't know if that is. I don't know if that is or not. We don't want to. We get a stack of
this.
Well, that was the other thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
If they could put it all together,
yeah.
You get
joint
one bill for all
right.
Your properties instead of.
But they're not doing that yet.
Not last month.
That's coming though. When was
I don't
spring,
know.
But it couldn't be last spring. So it must be.
I wonder how much revenue is in that. Do you have any idea, Bill?
No, I don't.
I mean, to me, this
probably in the thousands.
I don't necessarily see any administrative, I mean, from what I know about administrative and billing, but to me, you still have two actions, you know, from one owner to off, and then from off to a new owner versus from one owner to one owner, from one owner to the next, or
that's
from one customer to one customer, that customer to the next.
That's why the Boone County Replenishment Bills for everybody's charge, for sure.
I don't know if 15's, I mean, that seems a little high for somebody that's not using electric. But.
Oh, $15?
Yeah.
It was derived from a cost service study.
It may have to be adjusted depending on the service you're getting.
Consolidated billing, that's what he called it.
Okay, other thoughts on billing?
I think it was this past spring he talked about that goal.
That
new billing system
becomes on
that
at all.
Nothing
before we look.
Could this, if we were going to do, okay, so, sorry, could this become more like a global recommendation where we recommend that the minimum charge for electric, sewer, and stormwater all be go to essentially landlord version and...
Well, it's not landlord version.
Or just the minimum charge.
The minimum charge billed to the landlord.
Would be billed, yeah.
When the property is vacant, or the meter's on at all.
Then, because you're talking about doing that with all three of those... services, right? So if we...
Well, stormwater is what I recommend for stormwater, for the drains, for the properties, for the, there's no meter for stormwater.
Right.
But it could be one of those that's both a global recommendation and individual and agent borough.
Right. I guess one question I would have is there evidence that for electricity this money is needed, right? I mean, you want enough money...
In rates.
Well, rates reflect use, right? So
raising the minimum charge too, aren't you, John?
Pardon?
You're raising the minimum electric charge. You're increasing the minimum electric charge and the proposed increase.
As far as the 2%, I can't remember, Bill, which part is in the minimum.
1560 is in the minimum. It's been increased.
We can find that out. I mean, it's going to be...
They increase the minimum charge on a rate the same percentage.
At the same time.
Oh, and it's probably, let's see, there's probably some value to know the revenue potential.
Right.
Well, and then does that basically make it, why would anybody turn it off? Or make it inactive at all if you were still paying the minimum anyhow. And I don't know what the trade-off of that
is. Yeah, but you should charge meters on it.
So it's really minimal if you're not actually running anything, right?
But when the customer goes in and puts an account in their name, they would be charged everything except the base charge because that was to continue with the property owner.
Right.
Is that right?
I think you're creating a whole lot of extra work doing that.
I don't know which way you do it. If you turn the plug on all the time, yes, probably the tandem time for the meter. But if you just started the meters off, that doesn't bear on the tandem.
I need semantics, but I don't see how that's different from landlord reversion.
Is it?
Because if you're talking about, no, I know, but like, you're not calling it landlord reversion, but that's basically what it is, right?
Let's see.
Landlord reversion is voluntary.
Right. You're not calling. What I'm saying is, you're not calling it that. It's semantics. You're not calling it landlord reversion, but that's what it is. But you're saying that the tenant pays the base charge until. They turn it off, and then the landlord pays it.
You know, landlord reversion is leaving the meter on.
Okay.
Yeah. Technically, right is the best kind of right.
Meter says on landlord reversion.
Right.
This meter go off. The bill will continue.
Kind of force everybody to do landlord reversion, wouldn't it?
I like it.
You don't like it?
No, I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
The reversion part.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasonable. I mean, yeah, as far as billing when it's off, or billing when there's not a tenant. I just don't know about 15 cents.
So is one potential recommendation to recommend this, but also looking at what the minimum charge for an off meter would be to see what's a true cost on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Two, please.
Basically, it makes the property owner responsible for any delinquent bills. If you put the tenant in the property, the city doesn't do any code checks. The service to you to turn the electricity on immediately. Can you imagine what it would be like if you signed a lease for the tenant? Then the city refused to hook him up because of his bad credit risk. The city hooks up anybody you send down there.
You're asking the landlord to do the same thing.
Beg your pardon?
You're asking the landlord in theory to do the same thing.
Well, it's your property. You'll be responsible for the utility using your property.
Well, I can think of several things I'd want to know and understand about that. So one is, and I think that the city has the capacity to do this, but I would want, as a landlord, to understand sort of history of cost on a particular piece of property for running the electricity so I could up my deposits to make sure I had that potential covered. That could quickly make housing really unaffordable and could be a problem there. I can see where people wouldn't like that. The other thing is, why not have a recommendation for the city to run a credit check? I mean, instead of shifting that risk to the landlord.
What do you do if they don't have the credit that don't have good credit, but they need electricity?
If I don't like somebody's credit, am I allowed to say no? I'm not going to rent to you.
Some landlords do. Can landlords do that? They can't do that? Run credit checks on before they get tenants?
Yeah, you run a credit check on tenants.
And say no if it's bad credit?
That sounds like a slippery slope to me.
They can do a lot. Mm-hmm.
Is another way to measuring this up is to take a look at the amount that's written off every year.
Right. Yeah, I think my question around two
would be to understand what level of a million. How much? A couple million? Over a million?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we got to that.
For electric?
No.
Oh,
citywide.
It may be uncollected, but they may have moved out. They're gone. It's like a student. It's not because of not paying the bills. So keep flagging. Some of that happened.
But it's, even if it's students, they'd still unpaid, right?
Right, but it's not because they're not because they can't pay it.
Right. Yeah.
They
yeah.
just choose not to.
Is there a difference?
Move out of town and go somewhere else, you know?
It's still unpaid.
Well, they also, I mean, they can put the next, when they can put the next student's name on their account that's moving in and strap them with their belt, too, yeah. can't they?
No, you can't do that.
Well, if the bill's not paid, it's written off. If it's written off, it guarantees your master's rates.
Does the city pursue collections?
Oh, yeah, there's a...
Just around $100 million a year.
In fact, that let's see. Tracy, that has been enhanced in recent years. I mean, there's some real bird dog going on to make those collections.
Yeah, it's fun.
Isn't that right, John?
I mean, we're actually cutting sewer or anything.
Yeah, they're really...
This is not going to result in a big windfall for the city or anything. It's going to make everything more equitable in my mind. Mm-hmm. If you send me a bad tenant, look at it with Lincoln's bill. That's, you're one sent to him, so you got to pay it. It's your property.
I don't have this in my file, but I have a note that we have from our stormwater recommendation that we recommended several options. We didn't nail them down specifically, but we suggested possibly mandatory landlord revision, deposits, and the billing property owners.
I think we can sell them property owners.
So if it's in there,
I think that would be a good one to have a set of options to consider.
I think we took the mandatory
and then that's when
reversion
we took
out
reversion
of the stormwater because of the Hancock, some convoluted things. Right. But I don't know if it was applicable to the electric and sewer. And
starting the credit check would be an option, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a viable option.
So, Kim, would you mind finding where that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, I won't mind.
Okay. Three.
I understand that the rise is withdrawn or request to be master meter.
What was the question?
The rise is withdrawn or request to be master meter.
That's correct.
Correct.
So they've withdrawn their request. Interesting. Okay.
However, this would still apply because the city's in the past has classified some dwellings as commercial dwelling units. The ordinance says meter and residential dwelling units is prohibited. They are some dwelling units that are some commercial that have been master meter. And to me, that's not the intent of this ordinance. I think there's no definition for a commercial dwelling unit in the code. They're all residential dwelling units.
So, therefore, who on behalf of the city interprets this?
I'd say Gary Lux probably did most recently. Jim Windsor?
I don't know. I'm asking.
That's who that
it does. Like that.
This is an old, I mean, this is an issue.
Ultimately, Ted would.
Yeah. He would probably be the final decision maker.
It's my opinion, isn't it? I don't think you ought to be considering a dwelling unit to be commercial dwelling unit or residential dwelling unit. They're all dwelling units. the code says residential on the end, it'd be individually metered. I don't think you can say commercial on the end, it can be mass metered.
So do dwelling units in a commercial zone, in a mixed-use commercial building, get billed at a commercial rate? They get billed
at a residential rate. I don't really know. It depends on if they're
micrometered or not. So. You're talking about like a mixed use building that has like a restaurant with apartments or something like
right.
that?
Right.
Huh. Good question.
Mass meters, commercial. Mm-hmm. Individual meter for dwelling is residential. Regardless of what kind of zoning they're in.
I like this recommendation, but I also see where, I think what John was asking is, where does this get sort of officiated?
Yeah.
On what level?
Pardon?
And I said I like this recommendation. I also see where John's coming from with the where does this get officiated essentially and decided upon? And do we even need to cover that? Because it's already in the ordinance.
I guess it's how the ordinance has been interpreted.
I mean, I assume there's a reason that we do it the way we do it because it's easier for us and it's more efficient and economical for the city itself to do it this way, or at least that's why they've been doing it the way they have, because that's what they feel. Now, Bill seems to think that we're missing out on a lot of revenue because we're doing it this way, so it looks to me like you would just need to study it and see if it is the case that it would generate more revenue than it would cost to look at it a different way.
I agree that we've done so far, but the developer wants it. The developer requests to be mass metered, so the city okays it.
Yeah, but I mean, if there was a huge issue with it, the city wouldn't be okaying it. They would have probably jumped onto this ordinance and interpreted not to allow the development to do it.
It seems like it would be pretty straightforward to pull a sample of types of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And doing an
emphasis. Oh, yeah. I've asked the city which buildings are mass meter electricity and won't tell me. They don't keep those records.
Oh, that's right. That's come up before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I have heard that it'd be really hard to analyze.
But there are a handful I know I'm aware of.
So, Ryan? Who in the water and light department would be the one that would need to speak to this?
It seems like if every building is built, there has to be a record.
You may not have a record if you have a residential dwelling unit in your commercial building. Maybe there's got to be.
Well, if you have a residential dwelling unit in your commercial building, you should be registered with the city.
Neighborhood
service
office.
May not necessarily
have to be. Of course, that's right hand
and left. They'll tell you. That's like right hand and left hand, though.
What?
So that's like right hand and left hand, though.
Well, I think.
Well, that could be a recommendation, is that they shake hands.
This came up before, too, and it seems like with the new billing system, some of that was going to
be addressed.
Some of the data from the different departments was going to be overlaid.
I think what I'm hearing, this is a bad question.
Right, at 20 till 9, and because this is going to be germane to the conversation with Jim.
Yeah, that could be too.
In 2 weeks, that would table it.
That'd be right.
Right, okay, so it's table 3. And also on our agenda tonight is talking about the meeting dates in September and October, and I do want to.
Are we? I'm sorry to interrupt, Tracy, but the rest of this we're going to wait and talk to Jim about?
No, just three.
Just three.
I think.
Okay.
are there other ones, Bill, that make sense to go ahead and talk about?
Well, I could give you a quick one on five. According to my record, that there has been a proposed connection fee for electrical service, and my record shows that it came before the Waterline Advisory Board in July 20th, 2015, which is, that'd be 13 months ago. And it was to go to council and go to the legal department. And it is August the 9th, and still not an answer.
Did the Waterline Advisory Board support it?
Yeah.
Well, but how much was the connection fee?
It was done by a cost of service study, and it was based upon the customer class.
It's a residential
apartment service, $771. Residential apartment service space heating is $1,304, but anyways.
That's what the figures council's looking at, or that's what you all recommended?
No, what came about was that, we don't have a connection fee now, and so then when you propose a connection fee, then and all these matters go to the legal department for an overview as to the legal sufficiency of it. And through that vetting process, they determined that, it's very likely that it's subject to the Hancock Amendment. And therefore, if it's subject to the Hancock Amendment, then it has to be voter approved. And I have somewhere in this trusty pile.
So I have a question about that. We've had a couple of big issues come up tonight where the realities of the Hancock Amendment forces issues onto the ballot, and that sometimes stops things from being considered. You know, Columbia passes its ballot issues all the time. Why not just put them on
there?
Oh, yeah.
If you go on an airport, you'll be able to vote on a cash fee.
I'm sorry?
If you go on an airport, terminally, you'll be able to vote on a cash fee.
I think we've made plenty of recommendations that are ballot issues.
Are ballot issues, okay. Yeah.
Oh, I think, I know we were a little concerned in the stormwater one because it was like every recommendation was like a ballot issue recommendation.
Right. Yes, because of where we're at with stormwater in this town, but yeah.
Okay, and then not to muddy the water here. So, this,
why not?
This says, this is from the legal department, but this is from another legal department. This is John. Attached is an appellate court opinion that determined that connection fees are not subject to the Hancock Amendment. In the opinion, you will see that the court used what is known as the 5-point test or the Keller test. This test was created by the Missouri Supreme Court in its decision in Keller versus Marion County Ambulance, cited in the opinion, has been used ever since to determine whether a charge constitutes a tax, a license, or a fee requiring voter approval. I'm not sure that the test is perfect. Judges are not engineers, but it seems to have produced reasonable results since it was created.
So who is that from?
Al Wilkin, Gilmore and Bell. Bond counsel from Kansas City, and this is dated October 1st, 2002. And then there's the Blue Springs court case, also as is Hancock Amendment, saying that you have bonded indebtedness, that the voters gave you approval to make charges, fees, and so on, based upon to make the system functional, usable, and so on. And by as long as those bonds are outstanding, you have the approval to legislate changes in your rates and charges.
But comes down to whether it's a tax or a fee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to put that to the 5-point test, and if it doesn't meet the Hancock test, then you move on down the road.
Herman, Missouri.
Yeah.
one out of it.
Well, if that's from 2002, there's got to be a bunch of case law.
So. Oh, there is. it's the how conservative you are.
So maybe a recommendation is for the council to, you know, do a review of that case law, such as general rules in Columbia on fees and taxes are aligned with.
Yeah, and just as a note that the advisory board has said and waited for a decision. Mm-hmm. And we set long enough, and so at the August 31st meeting, we requested that the legal department come to the meeting and explain to us why are we not moving forward.
I got a note from our February meeting that council was looking at the electric connection fee.
Yeah.
So, and just to clarify, this is on new development, number 5.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So definitely recommend prioritizing addressing this issue.
Would there be a reduction in rate
with the connection fee?
No. Just be generating a ton more money?
Well, it would offset capital costs.
Right. So we wouldn't have to buy bonds?
No, it would not be a...
How are we paying for it now?
Through enterprise revenue.
So rate payers are paying for it.
Yeah. So it might keep rates from going up in the future.
Keep them going up as quickly.
As much, yeah.
And that's enterprise revenue across the board, right? Enterprise revenue just gets dumped together.
In the electric department.
In the electric department. So yeah. Rate payers, regardless of residential or commercial status, are helping subsidize.
And it's a whole
complicated issue.
Well, yeah, that's how you're right there. That's why we went to the cost of service study. We had an outside expert come in and do that so that we would have a firm footing to work off of.
And the cost of service study came up with these numbers, the 771 for residential and 1304 for...
And there's a whole schedule of them.
Right. Okay.
Number 6. I can't go there on 6. The rate schedule for electric service should be reviewed and adjusted biannually to maintain the proportional distribution of operation, maintenance, and replacement costs among user classes. That is not the industry standard for doing electric rate.
What's the standard?
Well, our standard is that Mr. Windsor can explain it to you in more detail. We have a cost of service study that, again, there are, what are they, Ryan? There's demand charges and usage charges. And
there are three components to a residential lifestyle. There's a customer service charge, you have a demand charge, and an energy charge. Some rate classes have operating costs, some have the energy and the customer service charge.
I can't see why you're going to demand charge in a multifamily building. The person paying the bill got no control of the electricity being used.
Is that a question for me?
Well, I'm a statement, really, is I can't understand why demand charge is required in a multifamily residential building.
Can you help us out, Ryan?
Demand charge, and you all understand the difference between demand and energy charges?
Barely.
So energy charges are just your usage, and demand is when there's...
Think about a cup of water that you're trying to boil. Stick one candle under there and it boils, let's just say 10 minutes, right? You stick two candles all over there, it burns in half, you know, it boils in half the time. It uses the same amount of energy to boil that water. All you did was raise the temperature of that water from one point to another. two candles in there is more powerful than having the one candle. And so therefore, you used more power to boil that water. That's why it boiled in a faster time. Now, the amount of power that you use and the amount of energy you use are related, but they're not necessarily a direct correlation one-to-one. And the amount of infrastructure that we have to build and maintain is directly proportional to the amount of power that your facility uses, not necessarily proportional to the amount of energy that your facility uses. Does that make sense? And so therefore, the most equitable way to distribute the amount of the cost of associated with your particular rate class with your impact on infrastructure according to your rate class is by having it.
Now, the owner of a multifamily building is master metered. He's got no control of the energy usage in that building. It's the tenants that control the energy, thermostats, the water. So most tenants on a commercial application can adjust their equipment usage, their demand charge, whereas a multifamily building has got no control over that. I just don't see why you're got a demand charge on a multifamily residential building with master meters.
Well, they're under a commercial account. All commercial accounts, with the exception of small general service, doesn't. Small general service is the only commercial account that doesn't have 25K to you or large general service, which has its demand component. I think the department's even looking at expanding demand all the way down to the residential customer in the not-too-distant future. And Jim would be the best way to explain, you know, how and why we calculate that and how it relates back to our cost of service study. But keep in mind that demand is a way of measuring your impact to the physical infrastructure that's required to service your facility. You know, if you have a extremely powerful load, you're going to require larger cables, larger transformers to service your facility versus someone, while they may use the same amount of energy, but uses it over a longer period of time, need smaller cables, smaller transformers, etc.
In response to John's question and John's statement, I just read residential is using 60% of electricity being produced, so I pay 60% of the revenue being needed.
Are they?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because you're mixing apples and oranges on the charges. You're charging residential multi-million at commercial rate. Treating it as a commercial building, it should be treated as a residential building.
How would you get the demand then?
But you should have
the bigger infrastructure.
You shouldn't have a demand on a multi-family building.
But it uses different wiring, different everything compared to what your house is.
Residential machines are different residential.
They're not. They are apples and oranges, Bill. A big residential complex is different than a house.
It's got more apartments in it.
Absolutely. It takes a lot more infrastructure to make it go than your house.
Apartments is not going to cost any more than 200 houses.
I think it would.
Not appreciably more.
Well, it sounds like these are sort of Jim Winter questions, too, right? Six.
And does that tie in then somewhat to number 7, or number 7 are you talking strictly residential?
The amount of amps?
Residential.
Should be based on the amount of amps? So
you got 100 amp service, your base charge is less than that 400 amp service?
What if you have
what?
A 200 amp service?
That's in between.
Come on, you do that.
You say 1560 base charge. For all residential property, in my mind, is not equitable.
Well, is it a bit like the...
But what if you have 200 amps, but you use less electricity than people with 100 amp?
Mm-hmm. Well, you put in a smaller amp.
Okay, I think to help you out, Bill, as a baseline, that you... to help you out to reconcile what your thoughts are and the way that it's set up now is that you need to get a copy of the last cost and service study done on the electrical rate schedule and go through there and study that to ascertain the methodology that is used in the industry to recognize the various components of how fixed costs are distributed and variable costs, as well as the demands in the system and how those are equated to how you need to charge.
And that's just generally on these policy sort of questions. Yeah. I think that a recommendation around making sure that we're consistent with the standards in the industry and have a regular discussion where there's variation amongst those is a good way to make sure we're...
Well, I can tell you for sure, every time those come around, that there's a lively discussion among that waterline advisory board. That's the help.
Now, but installing a 200 amp versus 400 amp service on a residential unit is not appreciably much different. I mean, there's a bit of a more expensive for 400, but the install itself is essentially the same. And then some of the difference would be accounted for in the usage. Like if the larger house is using more electricity, so you're going to account for the difference there.
I think the base charge, the minimum charge, ought to be a variable charge between the side of the house.
But is there much of a difference on the infrastructure involved in installing a 400 amp versus 200 amp service?
I couldn't tell you.
Except for cost of the box, I guess.
Okay, thanks everybody for getting...
One other recommendation.
I'm sorry?
One other recommendation.
Oh, mm-hmm. After 7?
Number 8. Yeah. Mayor's Task Force Secretary supports the downtown leadership committee's recommendations to city adapt its current practice to comply with the city charter by establishing appropriate funding and depreciation fund, or the city should amend the city charter and city ordinance to reflect the current practice.
Bill, I would like to table this one until our next meeting because it's
never been this one anymore.
It's, yeah.
So this was a recommendation, Bill?
Yes.
The depreciation of the
advocate. And we'll regret this element, right? The depreciation fund. Mm-hmm. I think this is worthy of some study rather than trying to get it in.
I don't have the opinion. I just read it very briefly before I got here, but I do remember I attended the city council work session where they discussed this, where the downtown leadership council presented and they specifically talked with the city manager about this, and I printed out the minutes, which is only a page and a half, but if you guys want to look and see what they had to say about it, because they had some interesting opinions about that.
You made copies?
Thank you.
Okay,
and I passed
around. I'm not done with this. I've been through all of this. I was there at the testimony, and
Your name's in here.
Yeah, this. and then I think that at the same time, if you read this, you better read this because this is the city manager and the finance director's response to this.
Right, and so I sent out the link to this afternoon after we got this meeting. Right.
This is the response to this depreciation fund?
Correct.
Yeah. So, which was one of my last questions, can I put this discussion on our agenda for next week?
Yes.
Tim's here next week, right? Shoot.
But I think
this is a...
I'll go further.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I need to do that. Because that probably talks about more depth than what they've actually said in the meeting.
and to allege that there's missing millions of dollars is so far off the market. That's unbelievable. How could you be millions of dollars off the mark when the city has an independent auditor every year since the thing has been created? And so you're saying that the auditor doesn't know what they're doing, and there's collusion or whatever, and that's just off base.
Sounds like it will be an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we switch to just quickly going over this schedule? We've heard from everybody but Greg, who is in Alaska, but I think he told me he was very flexible. I actually need to remove the 26th and 27th of September, so I'm not going to be here.
I won't be here on September.
Okay. Does the 13th of September work okay for folks? Katrina, I know you're not available that night, but otherwise.
Oh, but September 13th?
Yeah.
It does here. Nope. No, it doesn't. Nope, I can't.
I'm sorry, you can't?
I can't. Okay.
Okay. Well, that week's not looking
I mean, the 14th then.
The 14th? Yeah, set. Okay. Okay.
You want to do it that week?
Yeah, will you be there, John, then, on the 14th?
No, but I'll just have to miss it.
Okay. Okay. 14th. And is the 21st? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Good here.
And, sure.
28th?
Yes.
Okay. And the 5th.
Okay. 5th of October?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, and the 11th.
But what time are we doing?
In October. These were when we were talking about doing public hearings.
What are we looking at? When the Tuesday the 11th or Wednesday the 12th?
Yeah.
We're looking at?
Yeah.
Or Tuesday.
I'm fine with either. Mm-hmm. Any of them.
So 5 or 7.
Yeah.
Let's switch it up. Let's try 5 for once.
Yeah.
Is the 11th all right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. What time?
5.
And then that's the public hearing week. Do we, one of them, I guess we were looking at that last week too for that. It's the 18th.
5 o'clock.
Do we want to do different times since it's for public hearing?
7. I guess we could try the Wednesday and give people a little flexibility around the day of the week. Would that make some sense? So the 19th at 7.
It's church night at midnight.
Oh, church night, okay.
I mean, does anybody go anymore on Wednesdays? But I know people avoid Wednesdays.
Okay. Then the 18th is good at 7.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
What did we say, the 19th at 7?
18th.
Oh, the 18th.
You're going to be in church on the 19th.
Yeah. You better be in church, Kim.
We're going to drop by and check next to your cars in the car garage.
All right.
I heard it on NPR.
Comments from public.
Of course.
I would offer, Madam Chairman, if anybody would like a tutorial on how depreciation is used in a utility, how it's funded, used, I'd be more than happy to meet anybody at the library to give you my 41 years of experience
to have one or 2 years before.
Okay. So, any folks are interested in that? Other comments by
colleagues? I knew there
wouldn't be a case. I'm going to take you up. I'm totally.
That's why I said it.
That's fine. Three part series, maybe. Depends. How long is this?
Six. Better start at 1 o'clock. And
okay, I'm out then.
So we also got. Bill, can we table this until our next meeting to talk about?
Sure.
But we did get from Dave Sorrell the wet weather from July report, and I'll put that on our agenda for next week, too.
I would like to make an observation. It doesn't appear as the city's making much progress on 999.
Was that the seven inch rain?
That was the big rain.
Yeah, it was the big one. We had a 7 inch was the one, the big one.
6 inches. 5.98.
I think it's also missing some addresses.
This is Dave's report.
Yeah, I know.
I think Dave's missing some addresses.
I think it's missing some addresses.
I think people just don't call. Well, if that's an interesting question, Katrina, if you can find
something. That's my neighbor.
Yeah, about that, because like I know that there was a what street is that?
Agin.
Not Agin, Edgewood turns into Aldea.
Mm-hmm.
I know there were some basements on Aldea, but I also know that we never could get that person to call
them. Yeah, they're tired of calling in.
So. Now, some of them too were rainwater seepage through the foundation as opposed to backups.
Yeah.
I'd just like to tell you a story about one address on the list. South on Oak Street. I guess the only time it's been on the list in my knowledge since 1970. Lady Lizard called me before I retired. Ms. Shaw, she must be 80 years old, said somebody give her my name and said I could help her out with her sewer problems that are having her house. Her husband built a house in 1959. She said before they finished it, they backed up the basement. She said they called the city. Said the husband went down and talked to the young engineer at the city. He told them that he couldn't do anything about it because of the lack of God. The young engineer was right back.
Is she in the floodplain?
I don't know.
She's on Oak.
So Wild Street, my old parish.
But just down the street, so pardon me, Garth and Sexton is in
flood. Yes, I don't think so. Oh, one of them is. Makes sense. But Mrs. Shaw asked to have anything done impossible to help her basement situation.
Thank you very much.